You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Right now, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We hope your day is off to a great start. Looking at a sunrise in downtown Madison. It's a little chilly out there, Brian, but it's a beautiful day. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I am Brian Noonan. We're glad you're here. Good morning. Yes, it's still it's above zero.
Balmy.
So we'll look at it. We'll look at it that way. Because that may be the only good news we get coming out of the government this week, because we are headed toward a potential partial government shutdown. The votes are going to be tabulated this week, but it's all over the funding for the Department of Homeland Security and the administration's immigration enforcement agenda. Jamie, we've talked about this before. We're just coming off the longest government shutdown in recent memory. People are still reeling, and the fact that ICE is already funded for a while, but this, they want to ensure it. It's funded through the big, beautiful bill, as we can all remember. But they want things set in stone, more money for ICE, and there's some cracks starting to to show in the solidarity of funding this.
A little bit. And obviously, this was already a talking point for the Democrats after the Renee Good shooting, right?
Yes.
So we're going back a couple of weeks. And now there's essentially a standoff after Alex Pretty died over the weekend in Minneapolis. Democrats are demanding that DHS funding be stripped from a six-bill appropriations package until reforms are put into place, which would include requiring judicial warrants for immigration arrests, limiting federal agency overreach, and also ensuring cooperation with state and local authorities. Now, Republicans are pushing to pass the full package as written, arguing that removing DHS funding would further complicate negotiations and also risk a broader shutdown. There's some GOP senators like Susan Collins and Katie Britt who are open to procedural changes but want the package approved. Meanwhile, the more conservative Republicans, not the ones considered more moderate, including Senator Mike Lee, oppose any cuts to DHS funding at all. So this is where we're at. Now, the House is out of session.
What a surprise.
This is where it gets...
Mike Johnson loves to do that. He's kind of like, well, he's exactly like what we see sometimes here in Wisconsin, where aren't you guys supposed to be working?
They're on a session till Monday in Washington, D.C.
That's convenient. And just a reminder, the deadline is what?
Midnight Friday.
That's unfortunate.
Any amendments could be delayed, and obviously, if they're not coming back till Monday, in the House, and this is now at a stalemate in the Senate, you can probably expect a frenzy of action, or maybe inaction, meaning we're probably going to see at least a few days of a shutdown. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, it's not as long as the one that we recently just came out of. The White House is saying that it wants the six-bill package passed intact as they're getting ready, as we talked earlier, if you were listening to the program, as they're getting ready to send Border Czar Tom Homan to Minnesota to oversee the federal enforcement efforts. Now, Democrats are leaning on public opinion and the outrage over the killing of U.S. citizens by federal agents. They're using that as a bit of leverage right now. In fact, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer called on Senate Republicans to renegotiate the DHS portion while allowing the rest of the government to remain funded. Both parties, obviously, in this case, have a little bit of pressure on them, right? Because the Democrats are trying to respond to the base, and they're trying to prevent further deaths at the hands of federal agents. Republicans want to fund the government. They want to maintain support for the president's immigration agenda. So really, at this point, it's the clock is ticking. You got Friday. That's your clock. There you go.
Yeah, and I think when we use the term shut down the government, really they're talking about one department that they want to hold back, because quite frankly, when the word of the Republicans saying, well, we'll look at making changes and adding oversight and all this after it's passed, means nothing. We've talked about that. There's no trust that they are going to follow through with their word. If the other, this is where compromise would come in, where you say, okay, right now, if they took the funding for DHS out of that, out of this six bill package, DHS is still funded for now.
Right.
So it would not shut down that, that division. Everybody'd still be working. They still get their pay. They'd still get the unbelievable bonuses and signing bonuses and all of that. But then we could, then the Democrats and the Republicans could work on passing the other stuff, keep the government open. And then if you're really intent on delivering oversight and making these changes to DHS, let's do it. Come on.
Right.
And then, you know, then we can fund it.
Right.
But right now it's not fundable. And any Republican that doesn't see the public outrage, and this is not just Democrats out on the streets, it's independents, it's conservatives, it's people with children, it's everybody, not everybody, but this is a mix of protesters. This is a groundswell of American citizens who have had enough of this, and the target of their ire is not the entire government, it's the Department of Homeland Security. So take that off the table, pass the budget, and then come back and fix what's broken.
I totally agree. And if you want to get in on this conversation this morning, we'd love to hear from you. Either way, whether you think the government should shut down, why they renegotiate this, whether you think that they should pass the budget as is and then renegotiate DHS, we'd love to hear from you this morning. 1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC. You can call or text us this morning. Now, as you were talking and I was listening, I did a little digging. Big surprise, right? I couldn't ride a bike back forwards, but I can.
As you were talking, I was discounting it and doing research on my
listening. I was listening because you mentioned the fact that this was already a, because of the big, beautiful bill, DHS was already funded. And I want to make sure that in light of truth and facts, we know exactly what that means according to the big, beautiful bill and where the budget for DHS stands right now, right? So obviously this was signed in July of 2025. We all remember how that played out. And it was unprecedented funding for the Department of Homeland Security. Total appropriations reached approximately $170 billion to $191 billion. All right, that's, again, billion with a B in case that wasn't clear this morning. Now, I want to break this down a little bit. So estimates of the total funding package for DHS range from about $165 billion to over $191 billion, with one report citing right around $171 billion dedicated to immigration and border enforcement, which also included funds for the Department of Defense. The legislation provided massive increases for specific agencies, including about $65 billion for U.S. Customs and Border Protection, and also about $75 billion for the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, which is known as ICE. So that's how it broke down in July when this was originally passed.
If you've blown through that many billions since July, you're doing it wrong.
Right.
That should be enough. It should be enough to get you through at least February.
Yeah.
It should be enough to get you to next July.
You'd think. I mean, those $50,000 signing bonuses are, that might take a toll on this budget. Now, as I further break this down, because I'm still clicking over here, within the total, $47 billion was allocated for the border infrastructure and wall systems. And the bill also enabled the hiring of 12,000 new ICE officers and agents. This is from the bill in the big, beautiful bill that was passed in July of 2025. You guys got to watch me nerd on the fly.
Nerd alert.
Thank you. I wear that proudly.
Anytime numbers come up, I glaze over. But I hear the big ones. I hear the billions. I know that it's given. So yes, that is why we say that ICE is funded.
Right.
So you don't, and the Department of Homeland Security is funded. You don't need that in this bill. You don't need that in this budget. You can, and I'm not saying that the Democrats should cave. They, you know what? At this point, as hard as it would be to have another shutdown.
Yeah.
At this point, if the Democrats cave again, we might as well just roll over completely, because this is something, they've already got their money. They've got what they need to operate. The American people are not happy with the way that money is being spent and the operation that we're seeing. You gotta stand up on this one.
Yeah. Senator Ruben Gallego of Arizona actually stressed the need to hold DHS accountable and also pressure Republicans to explain their funding decisions publicly to the American people. And some Democrats, obviously Democrats, are like to be a little bit more cautious in their views and how they present to the public. But they're afraid of risking another shutdown less than 3 months after last year's. And that makes total sense. I guess at this point, if you can come up with a way to pass this budget to inflict the least amount of pain on people, but get it back on the table so that you can renegotiate DHS, you need to pass the budget. You need to do that, because there are still people who have not come out of the ramifications of the 35-day government shutdown. And so I think you need to be able to do that. But this is also something that has to be renegotiated. And this is something that has to be relooked at. And I know the Democrats have been all about, body cam footage. Well, apparently they already have that. And you see how that's going, and we're not getting the footage. It's not going to matter. This administration is not going to play by the rules, even with the right equipment to their agents. It's just not going to happen.
Right. And if you want change, you have to, and I don't say this cavalierly, but you have to fight for the change. We need oversight of this department. There need to be clear ground rules. There needs to be a complete overhaul in how DHS operates. And if the Republicans are not willing to pull that out, they're the ones who are then inflicting the pain on people. It's simple. Take this out. You've got money to operate until it's fixed. Show that you're genuine in your statements that you all will negotiate and fix it. Well, do it now. Then we can bring it back up and we can vote for the appropriations later. But if you're genuine, we got to do this now, because there's.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm guaranteeing I know that's kind of crazy, but I'll guarantee there are a lot of constituents of these Republican people in Congress who feel the same way about DHS and ICE that Democratic people do.
Sure, absolutely. Now, one of the things to remember, if there were to be some sort of shutdown, right, DHS agencies like ICE and Border Patrol would continue to receive the funding because of the big, beautiful bill.
Right.
So you're not stopping anything. However, agencies such as FEMA and TSA would be impacted due to a shutdown. So these are things to also remember in all of this. So if you want to get in on this conversation this morning, we encourage you to give us a call or text us at 1-855-752-4842. That is 1-855-75-CIVIC. And I think that's probably some of the consternation of the more concerned Democrats from more moderate areas, you could maybe say, is how will things like FEMA be impacted? How will TSA? What about the food programs? So I think those are going to be the ongoing conversations that they have to have. But
those have been gutted too.
Yeah. I'm for no more killing in the streets. So get to work, people. Get back
That's
in session.
Bold take.
Get back
bold
in session.
Take.
7:19 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And Wisconsinites are getting scammed. We'll tell you how after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It's a Prince kind of morning. Very nice, Boy Aquarium. Thank you so much. It is 7:22 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. We hope you're having a great start to your day. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Good morning. The other day we were sharing our stories about weight loss. We had talked to a dietitian, and, you know, it's the beginning of the year, and everybody who is making these weight loss resolutions is trying a different way to do it. Everybody wants to get healthier. Some people are doing it purely out of vanity, which I got no problem with either. But either way, people are looking for a quick fix when it comes to weight. Weight loss is hard.
It is.
Jamie, you and I can both attest to it. It's not easy. Anybody who's lost, I don't care if you've only lost 10 pounds, it's hard.
Oh, even and a couple pounds is hard, right?
Right. So it's, you know, if you're doing it, good luck, keep fighting. But people have always been looking for an easy way. And all of a sudden, in the last few years, we've been hearing about all these GLP drugs. Ozempic is one of the ones we hear about all the time. Mm-hmm. Now, these drugs were originally out for diabetics. My wife, who is diabetic, I didn't realize had been on Ozempic for the last 6 years.
Yeah.
It was all for the diabetes. Well, then they found, oh, look, this also helps with weight loss. Well, anyway, those have grown in popularity. It was injections. Now there's pills available. And everybody is getting in on the act. And some of the people getting in on the act are not very honest. Wisconsin consumers, Jamie, are reporting hundreds of dollars lost to scams promoting discounted GLP-1 drugs and other weight loss alternatives because these are expensive. The drugs like Wegovy, Ozempic, Mounjaro, they're a class of drugs created to treat diabetes, like I said, and lower blood sugar, and they've grown in popularity as weight loss treatments used by celebrities and others, and a lot of people are doing it, but a lot of people are getting scammed, especially here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and the Better Business Bureau is actually starting to put out some warnings about this. Over 100 consumers have been targeted by online retailers claiming to sell these drugs and some of these similar alternatives across the United States. And in fact, here in Wisconsin, three different people have reported losing several hundred dollars. In 2025, approximately 1 in 8 adults reported that they were actively taking a GLP-1 weight loss drug for diabetes or another condition, at least according to the Kaiser Family Foundation. Of those people, half said that the drugs are hard to afford, and scammers, obviously, when they start to hear those things, they want to take advantage of our vanity, right? Especially because now, with the weight loss, there's a little bit of more of a higher demand. So one Wisconsin consumer actually reported losing just over $1,100 after purchasing a product that she saw on Facebook. Never trust the book of faces.
That's where I get all my medication is on social media.
That's right. You should. Know? Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Don't do that, people.
I'm teasing. In case you... just in case. You made a little joke. Hey, Brian told us I should get this, and now...
Oh, we don't have that much poll. Come on now. Be real. We don't have that kind of poll.
Somebody's going to listen.
Listen, Parker and I believe in anything. So,
okay.
You know,
yeah. All right.
Yeah, if I say it, the boy Aquarium's going to do it.
Do you even know what Facebook is? Aren't you supposed to be on like the Tic Tacs or Instagrams or something like that?
A lot of the Tic Tac.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. All right. Just checking. Making sure I know my terminology. A person in Washington County actually reported that they were searching for GLP-1 medication when they came across a website offering the drug. And they were told to fill out a pre-screening, submit their insurance information, pay around $600, and then wait several days for approval. They learned that $500 fee was for a website membership and that any medication would cost more out of pocket. So don't get scammed by these. Don't get scammed on these. We've got John over on social media saying why most insurance doesn't cover GLP-1 meds is nuts. If you can lose weight, it reduces risk for many other things, which clearly lessens costs in the long run. Can't disagree with that, but that would be easy and practical.
And I think that's starting. You know, but right now it's not, and that stuff is very, very expensive. And the other problem is a shortage of the legit stuff, because there's times when Debbie is up for refill and none of the pharmacies have it.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, she's not doing it to lose weight. She needs it for diabetes. So we got to figure this out.
Yeah, and it's interesting because way back in the day when I was undergoing so much treatment for endometriosis, they actually had me on one of these GLP-1 medications as well, okay, because it could not only help regulate the sugars, it could also help regulate the cortisol levels in the body. And so there were numerous reasons why I was on, off the top of my head, it's been several years, I can't remember which one I was actually on, but I remember the expense that went along with that. I mean, yeah, and we're talking about 15 years ago. So I can't even imagine now with the flux in the popularity of it for alternative reasons, what it's like finding it and affording it at this stage.
And listen, I didn't use any GLP-1s when I lost my weight.
No, me neither.
I don't think you did either.
Nope.
And I don't throw shade. If that's what you need to do it, good. But and the guys always laugh when I say this because I say it partially tongue-in-cheek, but it's always big somebody. Well, Big Pharma knows that there's a lot of money to be made from these drugs, and it doesn't look like, unless insurance starts to cover it, there's not an end in sight for this. And until that's going to take, well, it would take, you know, like the FDA and the Centers for Disease Control, a lot of research to categorize obesity as a serious disease, and we know that that's...
Right.
Not going to happen.
Now, because we want to do our due diligence here, we're going to put this out there. Please just avoid clicking on links from unknown numbers or companies and block anyone whose messages may seem a little suspicious. I know that all of our listeners are very intelligent human beings, but sometimes we all need that little reminder, right?
Exactly. Talk to your doctor. Mm-hmm. And this goes way back. If it sounds too good to be true.
It probably is. It's 7:29 right now. My name is Jamie Martinson. You are listening to Civic Media Mornings.
And I'm Brian Noonan. And man, 1999 was a lot easier, wasn't it?
So much simpler.
We'll get to more. It's the Civic Media Radio Network.
Like old school Minneapolis clubs. I love it with the music today. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
I'm Brian Noonan. I feel like I'm at a rave. I just need a pacifier.
I love it. No, it's so good.
Swirling around.
So good. So good. If you ever have a chance, by the way, to go to Paisley Park in Minneapolis, please do so if
is
you're a music fan.
Tour?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. Whether you're
Is it comparable to Graceland?
I've never been to Graceland, so I can't speak.
I know.
I've never been to Graceland. But Prince, huge in my wheelhouse of music. So, yes, I've been actually to Paisley Park multiple times.
Right.
Very much worth it if you're in the area. Hey, speaking of Minneapolis, we do have some news coming out of the city this morning. The chief federal judge in Minnesota says that the Trump administration has failed to comply with orders to hold hearings for detained immigrants and ordered the head of Immigration and Customs Enforcement to now appear before him on Friday to explain why he shouldn't be held in contempt. Now, this was an
order. Welcome to town, Tom Homan.
That's right. Well, this was an order that was dated actually yesterday. Chief Judge Patrick J. Schlitz said that Todd Lyons, who is the acting director of ICE, must appear personally in court. Schlitz took the administration to task over its handling of bond hearings for immigrants that it has detained. I got to read this quote to you. I don't usually
do
this, but this is the language from judges in these cases is interesting to me. He says, quote, This court has been extremely patient with respondents, even though respondents decided to send thousands of agents to Minnesota to detain aliens without making any provision for dealing with the hundreds of habeas petitions and other lawsuits that that were sure to result. He continues, respondents have continually assured the court that they recognize their obligation to comply with court orders and that they have taken steps to ensure that those orders will be honored going forward. Unfortunately, though, the violations continue. End quote.
Ooh. Yeah. When you're out of Schlitz, you're out of law.
Yeah. I think this is going to be interesting because the courts are starting to push back. I mean, early during these raids, we saw the courts, I don't want to say tiptoe around it because they weren't, definitely. But I think they felt a little, to me, as an outsider. They were doing their jobs, but at the same time, it felt a little bit like territory unknown, especially why the administration was doing everything they could to skirt those orders or putting detainees on planes as people were meeting in court.
Yes.
And now the courts, it feels like we're a little bit more solidified in the actions when we see these come through, right? And they're now stepping up in a different way than I think we saw early on in this administration. And the language is much clearer and much more blunt as these cases have grown.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. The courts, like the rest of us, are fed up. And if you're a judge and you're watching other decisions be ignored by this administration, I have to imagine that it doesn't matter who appointed you, you're there because you are a servant of the law. And when you see the law being ignored, it's got to get under your skin. And judges are not above getting angry.
No.
Judges are not above frustration. So you have to, I love that they're making their language easy enough for everybody to understand.
Yes.
Whether you're an attorney or not. You can hear that statement that you just read and went, ooh,
yeah.
The judge is not happy. He's saying that they're ignoring him and he's calling them a liar because they say they're going to respond and then they don't.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that. It's taking a lot of the guesswork out for the rest of us who hear these decisions, and sometimes we get lost in the legal jargon.
Yes.
This is very plain, very to the point, and it doesn't surprise me that more and more courts will start admonishing them like this, because you can only ignore things for so long and then they will come back to bite you.
Yes, I agree. And what I also think is interesting is, you know, there was a lot of people who, and by the way, just looking this up because I know sometimes this is important, Patrick J. Schlitz from the U.S. District Court for the District of Minnesota was appointed by George W. Bush. So this is not a left-leaning liberal-type judge.
Not a commie judge?
No. And so that's what I think is also interesting, is that we're seeing a lot of pushback, as we should, because it's the law, mm-hmm. and they're following it, even from Trump-appointed judges. And
right.
So I think that's the most interesting part, because when this administration, especially in round one, started appointing judges to the courts, I think they assumed that, oh, if they're our guy, our gal, they're going to side with us every time. That's not what they do. That's not what judges do. That is a dereliction of their duty and of their constitutional Constitution. You follow the laws no matter what party you're associated with. So
yeah, it's. Well, the administration expected that because they got it from everybody else. They got it from the DOJ.
Yeah.
They got it from every other department. Thankfully, there are a lot of judges that are standing up and doing the right thing, because it's...
Yeah. Now, John,
you gotta put a stop to some of this.
Yeah, John over on our social media pages brings us back to reality and says it's all smoke and mirrors. When the highest court of the land is blatantly corrupt, how can we put faith in the lower courts? I think at this point, my honest answer is you put faith wherever it's going to land. And we know very much what the Supreme Court is capable of, or maybe not capable of, depending on how you're looking at it. But I think at this point, if the lower courts are going to rule in people's favor, in, I don't want to say our favor, because I don't have a pony in the game, but in our favor,
well,
the people's
citizen,
favor,
so.
Yes. I think we have to take what we can get, especially when they're putting out language like Judge Patrick Schlitz did yesterday in bringing in the administration into his courtroom.
And I agree with John. I mean, we've seen what the Supreme Court has done, and it's, again, for those of us who are not lawyers, sometimes it's very confusing, and I am in no way backing some of the latest Supreme Court decisions. They have led to a lot of the trouble that we are finding ourselves in. But I think the more that the lower courts and these federal district courts push this and stand up and really, because ideally their opinion doesn't come into it. Here we can have our opinion. The law is the law. And you can interpret the law, but your personal beliefs don't come into this. The more cases that are found for the people versus whoever, the harder it will be for the Supreme Court to ignore the law and put their own biases into their decisions. Mm-hmm. So I think, yes, we're right to be skeptical of the Supreme Court at this point. But we also, to your point, Jamie, yes, we have to accept, hey, this is good. The more these judges are standing up and the more ammunition is taken away from what Caroline Leavitt would, of course, call, you know, renegade judges who are doing whatever they want. No. These are Republican appointed judges, but they're not supposed to be. Once you put on the robe, you're not Republican or Democrat.
You're a judge.
You're a judge. And these judges are acting like judges and they're doing what they're supposed to do. So I'll be buoyed a little bit by this.
Yeah.
You know, not pie in the sky, but it's like, good. Another judge is standing up for the law.
Yeah. And Len over on our text line from Madison saying, just as sure, follow the money. And, you know, with this court, with the Supreme Court, I'm not going to deny Len's comments. There have been some rulings, not many, that I've been surprised in the way they've ruled. So, again, I think in the current state of things, we have to take what we can get when we get the win. And
yeah.
Is that sad? Yeah, it probably is.
Right.
But this is the reality we live in, and we're going to trust that the people in the lower courts, the judges in the lower courts, the attorneys, are doing their job, and they're following the law, not their biases, right? And
right.
That's
exactly.
Yeah, that's all
and
we can do right now.
It doesn't mean you rest on your laurels. You
no.
take it and you move on. Listen, we'll take this too. There's Republicans who are now
yes.
starting to echo the calls for more of an investigation
yeah.
into Alex Paretti's death.
Still not
saying much about Renee Good's death, but or murder. But we'll tell you. They see this case, and there's really no wiggle room, as we discussed
yeah.
yesterday in the videos. There was, not in my opinion, there was no wiggle room in the Renee Good case either.
No.
But they were able to argue, you know, try to throw up some smoke there. There's no smoke here.
No.
But it's good. Some Republicans are jumping into the fray, Jamie.
We actually have a couple of unlikely allies right now in this battle of the ICE agents invading cities. But a growing block of Republicans are actually demanding a fuller bipartisan investigation into federal immigration enforcement in Minnesota after, of course, the shooting of Alex Paretti over the weekend. Now, House Homeland Security Committee Chair Andrew Garbanero actually requested testimony from the heads of ICE, Customs and Border Protection and U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, saying public safety and accountability have to be prioritized. And then there was a bunch of senior GOP figures, including Representative Michael McCaul and Senators Tom Tillis, Bill Cassidy, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, and Pete Ricketts, who signaled some pretty rare cracks in the unity of the Trump administration's immigration strategy. There are also some Republican governors, including Oklahoma's, which I didn't
wow.
actually think I would say that. Oklahoma's Kevin Stitt and also Vermont's Phil Scott. I've seen Texas Governor Greg Abbott even raise some alarm
yeah.
flags over to what's happening right now.
Greg Abbott calling for Trump to dial it back just a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Which,
once Greg Abbott breaks ranks, you know things are there's starting to be a tectonic shift.
I mean, honestly, when Greg Abbott breaks ranks, and you also have pro Second Amendment gun rights groups, including the National Rifle Association, NRA, mm-hmm. and Gun Owners of America, calling for a full, transparent investigation
yeah.
into this shooting by the Border Patrol officer. These are some unlikely allies that we've maybe never had in these cases.
And if you, we mentioned before that the president had a conversation with Governor Walz yesterday. If you're wondering why all of a sudden he's willing to talk and why Tom Homan is replacing Greg Bovino, I hope you just listened to what we were talking about and what we were saying, because for all his faults, and there are, well, there are too many to list. He's listening to somebody who's going, sir, we gotta put a cork in this or we are done.
Yeah.
There were reports out yesterday that Ted Cruz said something to him about that. Now, you know, that was on Ted's podcast or whatever. But either way, somebody is telling Trump, hey, this isn't working. The public has turned against us. People in our own party have turned against us. So now, oh, suddenly he's open to discussions.
Yes. And I think it's interesting because the pro-Second Amendment folks are also starting to raise flags. And let's be realistic. Those pro-Second Amendment folks also are big donors to the GOP party, right?
Yes, they are.
And so this case, I think, has created a particular tension among the core of the GOP because of their stance on the Second Amendment. And then you've got your lawmakers, your gun rights groups, who are now stressing that there is lawful firearm possession, right? Because there was, that is fact, even in the middle of the protests. And they can't deny the deadly force that took place on video, multiple angles, on the middle of Minneapolis streets. They can't deny
blurry,
that.
Blurry, though. Blurry. Very grainy, Jamie.
Well, Tom Tiffany needs some new glasses. Representative Tiffany, I think that is something that is a must for you going forward.
Yes, if you just tuned in, Tom Tiffany said he hasn't watched the videos because they're all too grainy.
They're grainy, too grainy.
There's your reference point for that. Hey, today we're ending on a lighter note.
We are.
Today it's
we try.
We're leaving on a happy.
We're going to talk about wieners. 7:48 right now. You're listening to the Civic Media Mornings. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And if that's not a tease for you to stick around, you're really not paying attention.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Back home again in Indiana, and it seems that I can see.
7:52 right now. Thank you, Boy Aquarium. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And that's Gomer Pyle. I'm Brian Noonan. That's Gomer Pyle singing back home again in Indiana as RIP, Jim Nabors.
Love Jim Nabors.
I love that was the opening for the Indy 500 for years and years. Jim Nabors coming out of mothballs every summer to sing back home again in Indiana.
How could you not love him on the Andy Griffith Show and then on his spinoff of the Gomer Pyle Show? Like, how could you not? You had to. He was brilliant and a very good comedic actor.
That was when hillbillies were nice and fun.
Sure.
We could enjoy a hillbilly. And they were not wearing red hats. And, you know, we loved a good hillbilly back then.
We did. We could all get along. We could all be in the same space and all get along.
Now, listen, Jamie gave one of the great radio teases of all time right before, if you weren't here. She said we were going to come back and talk about wieners.
We are.
And
it's always good talking about wieners.
It is always good talking about wieners. Depending, I know HR doesn't come in until 8, so we're in good shape.
Nope, we're good.
But yes, we are going to talk about wieners. Wieners with wheels. What? This is getting odder by the minute. Hey, it all ties in when I tell you that the Wiener Mobiles are coming back to the Brickyard Racecourse in Indiana. That's where they run the Indy 500. They're coming back in May, and oh my goodness, Jamie.
How can you not be excited about this?
For the second straight year, the Wieners are back.
This is very exciting. All six of their famed street-ready vehicles will compete for the second year on Indianapolis Motor Speedway's historic 2.5-mile oval.
We should say this is the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobiles.
This is we didn't
actually say that. These are the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobiles.
Here we go.
Coming back.
And I love this. How can you not love the name of it? The Weenie 500 is scheduled for May 22nd.
I'm suing them for copyright infringement. That's on my business card.
Oh, man. That will be during the track's annual Carburation Day festivities. Now, I am not a Indy fan, so please tell me what a Carburation Day is.
Carburation Days are the days, the qualifying days leading up to the actual race.
So
they're running tests. They're making sure the cars are all calibrated and tuned up and ready to go.
Sure.
And so, you know, the Indy 500 is a more than a one-day celebration. It's a huge festival.
All right, I gotcha. Last year's race was a really big hit, and organizers wanted to give fans a second round of this fun. And so this will be just 2 days before the marquee race, the Indianapolis 500. I'm tuning in only for the Weenie 500. That's got nothing. I'm sold. I'm ready.
I know this is a NASCAR term, and I can't make a rubbing his racing in the weenie race. I can't make that joke. Boy, Quaria, why didn't you stop me? You know I think like a 12-year-old, and I see weenies, I hear racing, and I know Indy is different, like I said, than NASCAR. But fix that in editing. Just take out that joke.
I think the boy aquarium's is shocked right now. Are you shocked?
I'm a little shocked.
I'm looking at the faces right now.
I came up during the shock jock era.
Here we go.
So sometimes my shock jockery still comes out.
Call us Howard Stern. I think we need to regroup. You have the Oscar Mayer weenie jingle, right? I want to hear it because it's a good one.
Yes, let's hear it.
Oh, I'd love to be an Oscar Mayer wiener. That is what I truly like to be. Because if I were an Oscar Mayer wiener, everyone would be in love with me.
Oh, I'm glad I'm not an Oscar Mayer wiener.
I didn't know there was a second verse.
Second verse, just like the first.
Wow.
I've never seen the Boy Aquarium have so much fun.
Okay, I think we're done with that.
It's a hoot nanny in there. Very exciting. Very exciting. Now, I've seen a Wienermobile.
Yes.
And I've been inside a Wienermobile, but you have actually
ridden in one.
Put this on the list. Jamie has ridden
in
the Wienermobile. I know we don't have too much time,
no.
But this story is wild.
Illustrious
so how
times,
did you end up in a Wiener's
Illustrious
mobile?
Times doing radio in Baraboo. They came through the area. Those aren't two things you normally put together. Came through the area. They came in on my morning show at the time to do an interview. My co-host and I really wanted to see the inside of the Wienermobile. And we were like, how do we get a ride? And the two, what do we call the Wienermobile drivers? Are they just weenie drivers? I don't know.
Could be.
They were like,
Wiener Masters.
There we go. They were like, do you want a ride? And we were like, sure. And so here we go, tooling around town, all over in the weenie mobile and all over Wisconsin Dells. Oh, it was luxury.
Describe the inside of the Wiener mobile because I saw a relatively new one and it seemed very well appointed. Was yours well appointed?
They're very well appointed. They're very yellow inside. The weenie mobile we were in was very yellow, very comfortable. Red seats, and it was a little space age in there, just the way it's set up. Yes,
it does seem
hot doggers.
Like you're in
Thank
a rocket
Parker.
Ship. It's like,
Thank
what
you.
Is this?
Boy Aquarium coming in big for us. The drivers are called hot doggers. I couldn't remember that off the top
hot
of my
doggers.
Head.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Always on point for us doing the hard work. But yes, that
on
was...
On stories they're interested in. The rest of the time, they're dead silent. All of a sudden, we start talking about Wienermobiles and making
jokes.
Just
weenies in general.
Like, I'm on it.
Yeah, weenies in general. And they're like, there, gotcha. We
they're
got
dancing.
Back.
They're sending us information.
Awesome. So yes, I got to tool around in the Wienermobile. I have some video somewhere on a hard drive of us
That's
in the
hilarious.
Wienermobile. They let us hang out the window at the stop signs. It was mass chaos in the streets of Baraboo and the Wienermobile.
All right, Boy Aquarium, if the Wienermobile is coming to Madison, you know where they have to come.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We need a
totally
big
need
we'll
them here.
We'll be ready. Yep.
Totally need them here. All right. So enjoy the Weenie 500. It is 7:59. Thank you for joining us today. Civic Media Mornings. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the program. We will talk to you again tomorrow. I don't think any Wienermobile talk, but there'll be more interesting and hopefully some fun stuff too.
Never know when
Civic Me.
Never know when Weenie talk is coming back, Brian. You never know.
Either way, it's the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.